here's a question for you. Is marriage overrated?
Why aren't people getting married anymore?
A new Pew Research poll found that 2 in 5 young adults think marriage is an outdated tradition.
Marriage rates are at their lowest right now.
Is marriage really even worth it?
More than half of marriages end in divorce.
If you get married, you have to be stuck with this person for the rest of your life, right? That's why you get married. So that's why it's declining. Why would you get married if you want to have just one partner when you can have multiple?
Marriage is stupid.
Welcome to the Married AF Podcast, the greatest marriage and relationship podcast on the planet.
Self-proclaimed.
I'm calling it here. We're ready to go. I'm here with my beautiful wife, Monica. My name is Matt. We are your hosts. And the Boston Red Sox have done something amazing to come back, because we talk Red Sox every single podcast for at least a minute, even though it's driving people away because they stink. But they have brought back Theo Epstein, the Fenway Sports Group, who owns the Red Sox, the Penguins, Liverpool, just invested $3 billion into the PGA, have brought Theo Epstein back, the man responsible for breaking the curse of Bambino. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what this means, but the Red Sox are back. At least I think so.
I'm so happy that you have
I am so excited.
Mentality for it. It's always just going to let you down.
Red Sox are good at letting you down, but that's okay. I'm just so pumped and I'm so happy, because I think finally, after an offseason that has just been pitiful, like, I'm not even super excited for baseball season, and pitchers and catchers report in less than 2 weeks. Not even excited because they haven't done squat. Hey, you need pitching? I don't need pitching. Hey, you got one of the best pitchers in baseball who's a free agent who moved to Boston this past summer or this past offseason because his wife is a medical student and has everything going on there. He's just begging to be signed by the Red Sox. They're like, nah, we're not interested. We're not going to. We'll give you like a 1 year deal for $8 million, even though you're worth like $5 million for $100 million. We're not going to do it just because we're the Boston Red Sox. So, but Theo's back. I'm so excited.
It's a good day.
It's a great day. It's also another good day because we have a treat. Because we have found something that's just hilarious and amazing and awesome. First one we have is the New Testament for Gen Z. And the Bible is the greatest book ever, and I love it. We read it every day. But the New Testament for Gen Z, essentially it has translated the entire New Testament, because you have like the King James Version and the NIV and the NLT. You have all these different versions, and this isn't an official version of the Bible. However, it's been rewritten for Gen Z, and it's incredible. And then you also found the Book of Psalms for Gen Z, which is amazing. And to read this stuff as Gen Z, whenever I first found it, I read it, and you and Cashman knew exactly what I was talking about. But it's wild. So
you only knew what it was saying because you knew the original.
I knew the
story. Version.
And what I found was it was the Gospels, and it was essentially 50 stories told like as if it were Gen Z. It wasn't verse by verse scripture. You have found actual scripture,
found the and scripture.
It's amazing. So every single podcast, we are reading the Bible by Gen Z, just a little snippet, because it is so incredible. And today I got to start with Psalm 23, because we just got the Book of Psalms, came in today. And Psalm 23, a lot of people, this is the most famous, not the most famous, but one of the most famous scriptures. It's it's what your grandmother had in needlepoint in her dining room stitched out, and reading it, the Gen Z version. So the regular version, Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He gives me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me. Walk through the valley of shadow. That whole verse of scripture. This is it by Gen Z.
Wait, can we explain what Gen Z, like the generation, what is the age for Gen Z? Do we know those exact dates?
I don't know the exact
dates. I'm going to find it for right now for you.
I know that it's after millennials, and we're considered millennials now. I know we're early style millennials. So it's whatever's after us. It's that next generation. And I don't know what the years are.
Gen Z years, born between 1997 and 2012.
So
our son is on the tail end of Gen Z.
Yes. So this is anyone from, 11
to 26
12 years old to 26 years old. Mm-hmm. But this is Psalm 23 interpreted by Gen Z. The Lord's my main influencer. I'm all good, not wanting for anything. He's got me chilling in lush fields. leads me to the sickest chill spots by Calm Waters, refreshes my soul, guides me down the lit paths of repping his name. Even though I'm walking through the darkest vibes, I fear no bad news. For you are with me, your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prep a feast for me right in front of my haters. You hook me up with crown, my head with blessings, my cups spilling over. Goodness and love will follow me every day of my life, and I'll be chilling in the Lord's house like forever. It's so great. And it is so funny. Because I'm learning what it says, but you can just flip to anything.
Listen, my favorite's the one about Mary.
Well, see, and that was the Gospels by Gen Z. And I'll put that. Tune in next episode. We'll read the Gospels by Gen Z. But even just go into, you know, the book of John, the Gospels. And I read this one to you earlier. And this is John chapter 4, verse 47. And we'll go a couple verses. It says, when he heard that Jesus has come from Judea to Galilee, he rushed over to him and pleaded, yo, come down and heal my son. He's about to kick the bucket. Then Jesus dropped some truth bombs on him, saying, unless you see some mind-blowing signs and wonders, you ain't going to believe squat. But the nobleman's like, sir, please come down before my child dies. And Jesus was like, nah, man, you can bounce. Your son is alive and kicking. And the guy actually believed Jesus' word and went on his way. As he was walking back, his servants met him and spilled the tea, saying, guess what? Your son is alive. It's so funny. But that's the New Testament by Gen Z. And it's so hard to read that and not just laugh. And again, I don't know who's putting this out. I mean, this one says it's by Broseph Smith. The other one is Clifford M. Kahn. I don't know. And it's definitely not, you know, dead on. But it tells the story. And Gen Z, I think, would read it and be like,
they understand it.
I know exactly what they're talking about here. Instead of the King James Version that can be so difficult to read sometimes.
Listen, even some of the other versions, if those were out when we were kids, it'd probably be, oh yeah, we know that story.
Oh yeah, absolutely would be.
There was nothing like that when we were teenagers. We were still trying to break down King James Version and ye thou.
Which is so difficult. And there's some good stuff there, but it's so hard to read. But I think if you give something like this,
more kids are going to read that
and be like, what in the world?
In the words that we would say when we were coming up.
It's so hilarious to listen to.
You would understand it.
I love it. I love it so much.
I think it's fantastic.
I can't stop reading it and just kind
of giggling. But it's hilarious. It's
so, so funny. So every episode, we're going to read something from the New Testament of Gen Z. We're going to read a psalm per episode. I don't know what it's going to be, but we got to do this every single time.
I've literally been picking up that Bible every morning, getting the kids ready for school and just going to town on wherever I open, reading. And I have to make all of y'all listen to everything that I'm saying just to see if you understand. You don't, but you know the story that I'm explaining. So. I was gonna say,
if you know the stories, especially, it's especially good because you're like, this is crazy sounding, but yeah, that's exactly what they're talking about right
there. Different way of how.
So we just need
it.
We need Proverbs by Gen Z, and we need the Old Testament.
I totally need the Old
Testament. I mean, Revelation is going to, I've got to sit down and just read.
I can't wait to break
Revelation. It's going to be amazing. So, but I want the Old Testament because what I wanted to kind of talk about today kind of comes from the Old Testament in a way, because in the 1 year Bible, it was a couple weeks ago. I'd like to do the 1 year Bible. We were finishing up Genesis. And we're talking about the story of Joseph. And you know, that story is one of my all time favorites in the Bible. The whole story of Joseph and from where he was to where he ended up and just everything in between. As I kind of broke it down, I was thinking, all right, this is my favorite story. What does this mean in the context of me? How can I play? And I can pull a lot of things from that of how it relates to me, but how it relates to us and our marriage and what we've been through in our relationship. I pulled a lot out of there too, because Joseph had to wait forever. Like he waited and waited and waited for so long just to get those promises fulfilled. And when I look at us, there have been times where each of us at different times and different levels, we have waited for the other one so much. So
as in, explain that a little more.
All right. So when we look where we are now and we think, holy crap, I can't believe it. And I think something for people to take away from this is, you know, and sharing our part of the story is it is worth the wait. Like, you're worth the wait.
Yeah.
Hopefully I was worth the wait for you. Because right out of high school, like, you're fired up. You're ready to get married.
I didn't want to go to college. I just wanted to be married.
Like, immediately you were ready. All right, we should get married. We're 18 years old. I'm still a senior in high school, but who cares? We should start getting married. You know, we should plan the wedding. We should get married. I was like, hold up. No way.
You were hardcore against it.
No way. I was like, no, we're going to college, get an education, you know, do the steps that you're supposed to do. You know, we can argue on whether that's right or wrong. We have, you know, probably differing opinions on that now than we once did. But that was the mindset. I mean, you were so ready to get married. And then after college, it's like, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get married. I'm ready to take this next step. And you weren't at all ready. I mean, the it completely flipped the other direction. You didn't want to get married at that point in time.
No.
At all.
Not at all.
So for so long, you know, right after high school and in through college, like, you were just waiting and waiting. Like, one day this idiot will come around. And then after the fact, I'm ready to go, and I got to wait on you. And I wait.
And well, I was a year after you in college, too, so.
Still, you had no interest after college.
But I knew what I was going to do after I graduated, so what was the point of being married? Can't go on tour and be married. That's just exactly. Not going to work out.
And that's essentially where I, you know, kind of go with this. It was after college, I was ready to get married. You weren't at all. Because I think back to it, like, you had a million options. Like, you could have done anything. You could have been with anyone, essentially. You had a billion options out there. You did.
I don't see it, but.
I totally saw it. But I waited, and I waited, and I waited. And when you look at that in the context of the story of Joseph, like, he had the dream. He told his family about it, told his brothers about it. They hated his guts, told his dad about it. He's like, hold up, man, pump the brakes. Are you telling me what I think you're telling me? Like, God's going to make you ruler over everybody, including your family. Take a hike, kid. No way. And his brothers hated it so much.
They sold him.
Well, they wanted to kill him.
Right.
But luckily, he had a brother who's like, yeah, let's not kill the guy. But, hey, we can sell him into slavery. You know, hey, we'll throw him in this hole. Oh, no, here comes these people. We'll sell him into slavery. And so here's Joseph, and he's, you know, he's got this vision from God. He knows what God is telling him that's going to happen. And he gets sold into slavery, and he spends so long in slavery. And he goes to Potiphar, and he's at Potiphar's house. And Potiphar was very powerful. He loved Joseph. Like, Joseph's the man. Like, he does everything. He is beyond anything I could have ever expected. Problem is, Potiphar's wife felt the same way about Joseph. Bible even says that Joseph was a decent looking dude.
Good looking man.
And Potiphar's wife loved her some Joseph. And she wanted Joseph, and she tried to seduce him. And Joseph was like, no, I can't do that. I can't do that to Potiphar. He trusts me. I can't do that to God. I'm not going to do it. Until the point where eventually she yanks his clothes off completely. And he's like, no. And she screams and is essentially kind of turning the tables to get him in trouble.
She's like, if I can't have him, nobody else can have him either.
Exactly. Look what Joseph tried to do to me. You know, he tried to take advantage of me, and he ran out the window. So they catch him. Potiphar's furious at the situation. Throws him in jail. So now he goes from, you know, hey, he's had this vision. He's had this dream. God's going to do this for him. Sold into slavery, away from his family, put into jail. And he's in there with two of Pharaoh's main guys, the chief baker and the cupbearer. And he's there. And they have these terrible, you know, they have these dreams. They're worried about it. So they go to Joseph. Joseph's like, God can interpret those dreams. What were they? And he tells them exactly what happened. Sure enough, exactly what happened. And they're like, you know, the cupbearer is saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to tell Pharaoh about you. Like, we're going to get you out of here. All right. And sure enough, that does. And he spends so long in prison until Pharaoh has a dream. And that guy's like, oh, yeah. Hey, there's this dude in prison. And he comes out. And sure enough, he meets Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's like, this dead on. Interprets the dream for him perfectly. And he waited so long for that. And Pharaoh's like, we need someone like him. And I'm like, how about we just use him? And then sure enough, Joseph is elevated to essentially the ruler over everything in Egypt, second command to Pharaoh. And he had to wait so long for that. And there were so many things that happened that would have been easily to say,
just give up. And
I give up.
Yeah.
With you and I, could have easily said, screw this. Like, I'm out. I give up.
Same for you.
But you didn't. After college, same thing. Screw this. I'm out of here. Not going to do it.
But you didn't.
But I didn't. Because I knew, now speaking on my level, maybe you didn't, but I knew that this was supposed to happen.
Oh, yeah. There was a reason why we are a year apart in grades, lived, grew up in the same area, never like really met each other or knew each other until I was a sophomore and you were a junior. Had the same circle of friends. In the second grade, Matthew Powers, we were on the same Christmas float and did not know it until we started looking back through pictures. When you were a senior, you needed to have the baby picture, you know, for the yearbook. So we were going through pictures with your mom, and I said, wait a minute. That was Miss Kaylee's float in the second grade, my second grade, because my dad helped build that float. That's my dad driving that truck. And your mom said, no way. Sure enough, there's a picture of little Matthew in the third grade on the opposite side of the float that I was on.
And never knew it.
Never knew it. I just knew the first time I saw you. When I was in the 10th grade, I said, I'm going to marry that guy.
And you were right.
I did.
And I actually kind of felt the same way. Because it was just like,
but I boom. Didn't think it would be, I thought it was going to be a fight. As in, you were the hottest guy in school and every single girl, whether you want to believe it or not, every single girl in your grade and my grade were completely after you. I had to listen to it every day.
And you withstood it.
I was irritated every day. I knew I was just going to get in a fight at school because they were looking at my man.
I'm so glad you didn't.
Mostly but because you talked me out of it.
I did. I had to at certain times. But we waited. And all the crap that Joseph went through, slavery, prison, false hope. I feel like we went through that at times.
Oh, absolutely.
But we waited and we waited. And because we waited, we've ended up to the point where we are now, which is incredible.
Yeah.
And you almost think like, man, I don't know that I could experience this much joy and this much happiness. But sure enough, it just continues to elevate. So for people who are out there, because we've experienced it, it was worth the wait. So are you willing to wait? If you have that vision and you have, you know, what God has possibly told you and you know what it is supposed to be, even though it's difficult and there are trials and there are things you may not think you'll overcome, are you willing to wait? Because it's worth it. The payoff is worth it.
But you don't necessarily know that it's worth it.
No, because it takes faith.
Right.
It takes faith in knowing it's going to happen. So one, are you willing to wait? But the second thing, because we both waited and it was difficult times, but we also had to endure. Like Joseph had to endure a lot of stuff and could have quit easily. We could have quit easily, but we had to endure a lot. I mean, you talk about in high school that I'm supposedly the hottest guy in school. I don't agree with that, but you had to endure listening to that, trying to get into fights, this and that.
Trying not to get in fights because those girls, they laid it on thick.
But you had to endure all of that. And then when the tables were turned and after college and just kind of said, like I said, you had a billion options out there and going on tour with all these famous people. And you had a million options. I had to be able to endure that. And it could have been easy to just say, you know what? This is dumb. I can't do it. But I was able to endure it, you know, and we were terrible to each other.
We were.
We lied to each other.
Constantly.
We manipulated each other. You know, we went behind each other's back. It was just awful. Yet, we endured. And I don't know about you, but for me, I felt like there are times that, man, I'm like at the end of my rope. Like, I can't do it anymore.
Oh, of course.
Like, you know, the depression of that is real and it's painful. And it's, you really feel like, you know what? I just cannot go on another day with this. But somehow, I endured. And I'm sure you did the same because even after college, and we did get back together, there were times after that where I'm sure you felt like, I can't deal with this guy one more day. but somehow you endured it. Which just kind of leads me to the next point of, not only are you willing to wait, but are you willing to endure the difficulty and the trials that come? Because the payoff will be significant if you do. If it is God's will and what he's told you, it will. And we've talked before that, you know, a waiting season isn't necessarily a wasted season. You can let it be a wasted season. You can let it be for nothing, but like now it all makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. There's no reason that we needed to do any of the stupid things that we ever did, especially to each other.
Oh, yeah.
But I know without a doubt now, looking back, in the moment, you do not know the things that you're actually doing to the person because you're just stupid and selfish. There are zero reasons we need to be together right now, why we should be together. And there were so many times, of course, this is stupid. I'm just done. So over this. I'm tired of being treated this way. Let's just move on. But I don't know why that we didn't. But now looking back, I know, because this is where we're supposed to be right here, where I never expected to do a podcast.
No.
I still tell you all the time to write the book.
Maybe we'll get there one of these days.
But never in a million years. If you would have told me in the moment, you're in the waiting. If you would have told me that one day you have to stay with him because you're supposed to do this Christian podcast, I would have laughed in whoever's face. Because there was zero Christians anything about how we were living. But I know if we wouldn't have gone through that, this would not be here.
No, I totally agree, because it now all makes sense. To where we are now, it all completely makes sense. And I think that the reason we were able to wait and the reason we endured through all that, and it has now not been a wasted season because of that, because now we're able to share that part of our lives, to be able to relate to people, because people go through a lot of crap. And they have a lot of difficulty, especially in their relationships, especially in their marriages. Had we not gone through that, maybe we wouldn't be able to speak to that and to help someone else along. So at the end of the day, we look at it, you know, the story helped. This story will help someone. We'll probably never know who that is, but this story will help at least one person or one couple. And if so, all that pain and all that hardship was worth it.
Absolutely.
You know, the pain helps. My pain is going to help someone else. Mm-hmm. Your pain is going to end up helping someone else. And it's just kind of amazing to think about that, from where we started to where we currently stand, and all the crap and all the junk in between is going to be worth it for somebody.
Just that one person. I mean, look at Jesus. He left the 99 for the one. And we'll do that every single time.
Mm-hmm. And it even goes back to this. Whenever you are enduring, you know, Jesus leaves the 99 for the one, and he may do it over, you know, and it doesn't matter what caused the one to go. Doesn't matter how far that one went. Doesn't matter how many times it's happened before. Jesus is still going to go because that person matters.
He's going to find them where they are.
And there were so many times in the middle of it all. It's like, you know, I don't understand. You know, why is this having to happen? No. Why is she doing this? Why can't she see the bigger picture? Why can't she see how much this hurts? Why can't she see that we're supposed to be together? Why can she not see what this is doing? Why can't she see that this isn't the way it's supposed to be? And there's so many times I'm asking the question, why in the world can she not see that? And I'm sure you probably did the same with me. Like, why is he such a moron? Why is he doing this again?
Repetition. Just keeps coming back.
And we just don't understand it. And, you know, Jesus says in John, he says, you don't realize now what I'm doing, but someday you will.
Mm-hmm.
And man, when I think about that, no idea what you are doing. But today I think I almost fully understand it. Probably not fully, because I know he's still at work and still doing things. But it kind of all makes sense now.
It does.
And when Joseph, he's ruling over Egypt, he's running the show, and sure enough, his brothers come because there's been famine, and they come to Egypt, and they need help, and they need stuff, and who's the person in charge? But Joseph. And they don't even recognize Joseph first. He recognizes them, and he kind of plays them along a little bit. You know, they give him money, he puts money back in their bags, gives them everything they need, because even though they treated him terribly, he loves his family, and he knows that, hey, I went through all that because I know I'm supposed to be here now. And eventually the whole family comes, and I love at the end of the story when his whole family comes and his father finally dies and his brothers are freaking out, like, oh no, dad's dead.
We're doomed
now. The only reason he was so nice to us and forgave us for this is because dad was around, but now dad's gone, and they try to come to him with that, like, hey, we'll do anything, it doesn't matter, just please don't kill us for what we did to you. Because that's what they were thinking, and I'm sure people have had those thoughts. But I love what Joseph said to them. He said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good.
Mm-hmm. Every time.
And in those moments for us, what you may have meant for evil, I know he meant for good.
Yep.
The junk that I meant for evil, he meant for good.
Yeah. God doesn't cause bad things to happen. As long as you are living for him and doing his will, he's going to give you all the things that you need, not only to survive, to push forward. And look at that. Look at us. We are 1,000% example of that, because we should not be here.
No, he will give you what you need to be able to endure. Mm-hmm. And I've said it before, but it's, God doesn't come and part the Red Sea all the time.
No.
But most of the time when it is rocky, he will come and he'll give you the tools you need to build a boat. And the boat may fail, but you won't. That's because he is good. But when you go through that, because we had many different trials and many different things over the years, it's like, all right, well, we got through that one. I know, God, you'll get us through the next one. I know you'll get us through the next one. And it may not always be self-inflicted. There may be some unbelievable thing that happens. I mean, look at the wreck that you had. That was no one's fault, but boy, it was.
Well, it was someone's fault, but.
Wasn't your fault. It wasn't my fault. I wasn't the dummy who caused anything.
Right.
But being able to endure that, it just makes me confident that God, I don't know what else is in store, because, I mean, you go through different seasons and some are good and some are more rocky, but I know whatever that is, I know I've got someone there that's going to fight with me to the death to get through it. And I know you're going to lead us through it. So whatever it is, God, I trust you to bring us through it.
Yes.
So it's been amazing just to watch him work in our lives. And I was reading about Joseph. It's like, man, that relates so heavily to us. I'm just so thankful he did. I'm glad you didn't give up on me.
Aw, thanks for not giving up on me.
I know, we should have.
Oh, every single time.
But we didn't. And I'm so thankful we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it was worth it. Waiting doesn't necessarily suck.
All I could think of was True Blood. Waiting sucks.
Sometimes it's difficult, but it's worth it. So if you are in that waiting season, I promise it's worth it. Lean on the Lord. Remember John chapter 13, verse 7. You may not understand what I'm doing, but someday you will.
Mm-hmm.
Just trust in him. You may not get it right now, but someday you will. You want to see what the new Gen Z Bible says on John chapter 13, verse 7?
Oh, boy.
It says, Jesus replied, bruh, you don't get it now, but you will later. Trust me on this.
Bruh.
So whatever it is, bruh, you may not get it now, but you will later. Trust me on this.
Trust me, bruh.
Trust me, bruh. It blew my mind, and it was amazing. And I'm so glad that you made it through.
I made it through.
That you made it through, that you stuck by me, you endured, and what's come out.
Well, it's probably best.
I think it is. You make me better.
Aw.
So we got to go.
I think you're just trying to get brownie points now.
Nah, I wouldn't do that.
Not you.
No, not me. But we got to get out of here. We are done. Next episode, more of the Gen Z New Testament.
Yes.
Psalms. Thanks everyone who listened. Tune in for that. If you don't tune in for anything, tune in for that, and maybe it'll lead to something else. But we thank everyone who listens, who watches, and all that stuff. Just keep it coming.
Sure.
Let's get out of here. God, we love you. We're so thankful for all that you've done. We're thankful for this platform. And we completely give it to you. And whatever you want to do with it, it is yours. Just take it to the ears that need to hear it. And let it just impact at least one. Whoever that is, whoever that one of the 99 strayed, who went away, whatever it is, God, just bring it to them to be able to just enrich their lives and their relationship. And we give you all the credit for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Play ball.